A Perth building company hits pause on new work, confidential bank information dumped, and a massive change is coming to Bunnings stores. It's Wednesday, the 1st of March.
The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
G'day, Matty. It's great to have you back.
It's not Monday, is it? It's Wednesday.
No, it's Wednesday.
This is amazing, having a three-day week for me anyway.
Yeah, it's good. The rest of the week is going to go by pretty fast for you, I suspect. Now, let's talk about this apartment complex fire in Balga.
Yeah, seeing the pictures this morning on Sunrise, it's amazing everybody got out unscathed. It was raging. So this fire started about 10:30 last night on Princess Road in Balga. Firefighters had to send appliances from four stations, and when they got there, the single-floor apartment was fully involved. It took firefighters 30 minutes to bring the blaze under control, so police and Western Power were there, and fire investigation officers are currently investigating what sparked that blaze.
Mm. And talking about investigations into fires, we've had a bit of a breakthrough in that spud shed blaze.
Yeah, CCTV captured this blaze and customers teaming with staff to put out this fire. A pile of toilet paper had been set alight. I mean, usually you see people would be running from
in
a burning building. But yeah, these customers, amazing. So what's happened this morning, the breaking news, is a 13-year-old girl has been charged with criminal damage by fire, and she will face the Perth Children's Court later this month.
Mm.
So, I mean, disturbing, isn't it? The 13-year-old.
Yeah.
Has been charged over this. Spud King Tony Galati says he wants to meet face-to-face with those customers who helped save his store.
Fire extinguishers. They grabbed fire extinguishers that they've been given.
And more than one.
I know. What is he going to give them? A couple bags of spuds?
I think they, knowing he is a generous fellow,
I think
they may be in for a bit more than that.
I could get like a year's worth of free groceries at Spud Shed, something like that.
Yeah, that's
something. I'd be very excited to see what they do.
You could be on the Spud Shed marketing department before we know it.
And now let's talk Banksia Hill, because the problems at this youth detention centre have been ongoing for a while now. And just when you think, okay, can't get any worse, something else happens, takes it to a new low. And that's kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah, so a youth custodial officer has been left with a suspected fractured skull in this latest disturbance at Banksia Hill. So what's happened is seven offenders have climbed fences and roofs while out of their cells to take part in programs, and they've pelted officers with chunks of masonry and metal, and one of those chunks has hit this youth custodial officer. Now, one of the detainees was over the age of 18, and this has prompted the Premier to say he is considering moving juvenile detainees from, say, for example, Banksia Hill once they turn 18 if they're still serving their sentence.
Mm.
I thought this was interesting. I would have thought they would have been moved
anyway. I thought it was standard,
anyway.
Right? I know.
Yeah.
But there's 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, even 20-year-olds in Banksia Hill, according to the Premier.
Yeah, it sounds like they complete their sentence if they've started in juvenile detention.
I kind of get that, because
if you go in as a
16-year-old and you've got a couple of years, you don't necessarily want to go, okay, you turned 18, now here you go into the adult jail, see how you go.
Yeah, and this is probably the dilemma that the government faces. Do you put them in the adult jail and then they're exposed to adult prisoners, or do you keep them in the juvenile detention centre and potentially influencing much younger detainees?
And do you think that there's any element of this is the Banksia Hill detainees, they know that now, you know, like with all of the attention on the centre, that maybe they can get away with a bit more?
Maybe, and a sense of notoriety, maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, I wonder about that, what impact it has. And now let's talk about one of Perth's biggest home builders, BGC. They've had to take a pretty dramatic step to deal with the slowdown on builds.
Yeah, they're stopping new work. Stopping sales. And this is because of scores of complaints from existing customers unhappy with agonisingly slow builds. Now, it follows a potential class action that was brewing. So now BGC has come in and said, look, we're putting a pause on new work so that we can focus our resources and attention on the existing builds underway. I was reading about in the West, one person who went to one of their display villages to hand out pamphlets, basically saying, you know, don't go with this mob because my house is taking forever to build. And suddenly it seems like her roof is going to be put on.
The old squeaky wheel.
Yeah.
But it's insane though, right? Like it's 18, 26 months for things to happen, and people have been waiting around. The slab goes down very quick.
Yeah, but the rest of it.
And then not much else happens.
And, I mean, BGC says that the labour shortages are the problem here, and we know it's an issue. So hopefully they can at least get those existing builds done, because it makes sense. Why would you sell new homes if you can't even get the ones you've got going finished?
And BGC is huge, right? Like, they own a lot of subsidiary brands, Aussie Living, Homestart, Smart Homes, Now Living, Terrace and Ventura Southwest. So lots of brands there. But do you wonder about the viability of that company? If they're not taking in new sales, that's a lot of revenue that you're not taking in. It's a tough time.
Well, that's the thing. We've seen building companies fall over.
So confidential documents containing the personal information of customers from one of Australia's biggest banks have been found dumped in a skip bin in Perth's East. Now, this is an interesting one. So the ANZ on Jull Street in Armidale was recently closed, and it seems as though whoever it was in charge of packing down the facility has just dumped all of this sensitive banking documentation in a skip bin, as well as all the other construction materials. And some local bloke has discovered the documents. Dozens of pages are in the bin that had the personal information of their customers. And now ANZ has come out and apologised and said it was urgently investigating what happened. I don't think it's much of a mystery. I think someone just grabbed the papers and threw them in the skip bin. But it comes, of course, after there's a lot of focus on cybersecurity with the Medibank and Optus breaches.
Surely that they would know if documents had names, addresses, account numbers, etc. They need to be shredded.
Yeah, but you're probably talking about contractors, you know, your construction people or whoever it might be.
Yeah, but still someone at the bank is in charge of the closure.
Yeah.
You know, Dad texted me over the weekend because he likes to just text me with what he's doing. You know how dads just do that, just a list of jobs and things. And he was saying, Mum's doing this, and he's like, I'm in the garage shredding documents.
There you go.
I mean, if he can shred documents in the garage, surely ANZ can do it.
ANZ needs to reach out.
Yeah, he needs to be contracted to do it.
Indeed. And now China has accused the US of overreacting after federal employees were ordered to remove the TikTok app from government-issued phones. So earlier this week, I don't know if you saw it, the White House gave government agencies in America 30 days to ensure that all employees did not have TikTok on their work devices, right? And it follows similar moves by the EU and Canada in recent weeks. I think the UK is looking at it as well. And a spokesperson for China's foreign ministry accused the US of abusing state power to suppress foreign firms because Western officials have become increasingly concerned about TikTok, which is owned by the Chinese firm ByteDance, and they've faced allegations that it harvests users' data and hands it to the Chinese government. And some intelligence agencies are worried that sensitive information could be exposed when the app is downloaded to government devices. TikTok says no, that we don't operate any differently to any other social media company, which last time I checked, they totally harvested data and sold it to advertisers, and said it would never comply with an order to transfer data. So how do you feel about this one? I don't think it's such a bad idea for governments to prohibit the use of TikTok on a government device.
I mean, if there's a chance that data could be siphoned through the app.
Yeah.
It's a bit rich of the Chinese, though, to have a go at the US for abuse of state power and control, though, isn't it?
I know. And you'd also say that there's probably some other apps you'd question as well that aren't as famous as TikTok, probably do a similar thing.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time to have a bit of a think about that. And now, solar power is everywhere. You drive around the streets of Perth and you see a lot of people have solar panels. Well, now an interesting stat has just come out. Australian rooftops now can produce 20 gigawatts of solar power, and they'll soon have the capacity to produce more electricity than the country's entire coal industry. So it's the first time.
So do we even need the coal?
Well, it's still only, you know, it's still only a little bit more. So it's like, you know, 51% to 49%. Okay. So you still get quite a lot from coal. And obviously, you know, you have days where there's not much sun and nighttime where there's no sun at all. And until batteries...
Can store it, though.
Yeah, until batteries become more prevalent, it's probably not really at the point where we can do away with coal, but certainly moving down that path. Because it took 11 years for Australia to reach that first 10 gigawatts of capacity. The second 10 gigawatts only took 4 years.
Okay.
So there you go.
So it's exponential growth.
WA still has a little way to go, though. Queensland has the highest share of solar panels, 82% of dwellings. So they've got some pretty generous subsidies. South Australia, 78%. New South Wales, 51%. Victoria, 43%. So WA is a bit less than that.
We've got a lot of sunshine here. We've got a lot of space.
Yep. So I think our WA will
increase.
You think
we just have solar farms everywhere, really?
Yeah. And so when you think Bunnings, you go there for a sausage sizzle?
Do you know what? I do. I like the smell of a sausage sizzle, yeah. But
more,
I'm
more
not,
than the taste.
Well, I don't usually. Yeah, look, I'm a little bit health conscious, but I'll get a little whiff. Bit. I'll get the whiff of the, you know, snag as I go in.
Yeah, I got to admit, like I love, and the cooking onions as well is amazing.
It's very good cause, though.
But then it's great cause. Sometimes they're not always that
sometimes
great.
Sometimes I'll get a drink.
Overcooked bottle
sometimes.
Of water. here's another reason to go to Bunnings. They've announced that they're going to increase its range to include pet supplies, competing with supermarkets and specialty retailers like City Farmers.
So we're talking like dog food,
leads. Yeah, cat food.
Bowls.
All of those sort of accessories.
Okay, because they had
like
a few
thousand.
Things.
They had a couple of little bits and pieces.
I got a doggy door from
a
there.
Couple of pieces, but now they're talking about like 1,000 product lines. Which is going to be their biggest product expansion in 20 years since the last time around. It was when they started offering kitchen fit outs.
So here's the question. Would you go to a Bunnings to get pet supplies over City Farmers?
Yeah, I would, if it's
you
cheaper.
You would, okay.
Because it's expensive.
Cheaper, yeah.
Especially, it depends on, you know, like if you just go to Coles or Woolies to buy your pet supplies and you're just buying cans of Pal, then, you know, probably not going to move the needle for you. But if you're going to City Farmers and some of these more specialty retailers and you're buying the upmarket pet food, it's expensive.
Man. So do you think this will put City Farmers out of business? Or?
I'd be very worried if I was them.
Yeah.
But still, there's a lot of money to go around. Do you know the pet supply sector revenue is forecast to increase over the next 5 years to become a $4.6 billion industry?
In Australia alone, yeah, $4.6 billion.
Per year. And it's seen as recession-proof.
Wow. Well, I think City Farmers will survive then.
Sport.
Yeah, Peter Bowl is surviving, but he's not going to be at the national championships. He's ruled out competing at the national titles in Queensland later this month. Well, I think it's just didn't have enough timing to get back into peak health. Like, there's no issue with the drug testing and all that sort of stuff. Of course, you know, he had that positive A sample for the banned drug EPO, and it looked like he was going to be banned for a while. But then the B sample came back negative, and so his suspension was lifted. But
or still, inconclusive.
It was inconclusive.
Technically.
And so he still has to face a Sports Integrity Australia grilling over the conflicting test results. He's got a US-based lawyer, Paul Green, who's flying in for the hearing. And here's an interesting thing. So in the meantime, he's going to have his kidneys tested to see if they produce unnaturally high levels of EPO. So more EPO than the average person, because the finding was it was deemed borderline, and he's had four other tests that were negative and before this kind of positive test. And he's also getting his family members tested.
So it's possible it's some sort of genetic condition.
Yeah, genetic thing. And that his kidneys just produce too much EPO.
So there you go. Does that mean they're a family of fast runners?
Maybe.
The Wild West.
This is one of my favourite stories for a while. So police in Peru have made a surprise discovery when they searched a delivery man's home who came to their attention for acting drunk at an archaeological site in Puno. And so this bloke...
So there's a lot to take in there.
So he was at an archaeological site.
So he was drunk.
He was intoxicated. And then they thought, what is there's something up with this guy?
Are we talking delivery like post or...?
Yeah, like a delivery guy. So like a courier driver.
Courier driver.
Yeah. And so then they've looked inside his cooler bag, presuming that it was going to be filled with whatever the top Peruvian beer is.
Yeah.
And instead, they found an ancient mummy. An ancient mummy that was maybe 600 to 800 years old.
Maybe he was delivering it to the archaeological site.
Gets weirder than that. So the mummy, he'd been keeping the mummy in his house, and he considered it a kind of spiritual girlfriend. And then he'd put the remains in the bag to bring them to the archaeological site to show off to his mates that he had a mummy. And he even nicknamed, so he considered this mummy his girlfriend, and he named it Juanita. And you watch TV with the mummy, Juanita. And he said that it was owned by his father and
it's
had
like
been
one
like
of those
his family
pillows.
Heirloom. But kind of unfortunate thing because the police seized the mummy and the
How
experts
old was
tested it?
It.
And it wasn't, Juanita wasn't a woman at all. It
what was
actually
Juanita?
A mummified dude. So his girlfriend was
Juan.
Actually, yeah, so Juan, it was actually Juan. So now he's been detained and he's been investigated for possible crimes against Peru's cultural heritage.
So do we know how old Juan is?
So Juan was between 23 and 26 years old when he died and was been mummified for about up to 800 years.
Wow.
800-year-old mummy. So there
that
you go.
That is a random story.
Yeah, it is very
wild.
And that's your news from the West Australian for Wednesday, March 1. And don't forget to subscribe to the West Live on your favourite podcast player. Maddie, we'll have you back tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, mate.
You've been listening to the West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
We interrupt this broadcast to apologise to The Bachelor.
I just get confused because there are so many of them and they are all personal trainers.
The biggest new sketch comedy in decades. We interrupt this broadcast. Tuesday, 7:30 on 7 and 7 Plus.